never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Well, it's Sunday night, and I think you know what that means. Welcome back to another episode of the Pitbull Advocate. They call me Dogfather.
And I'm Joe Frazier from Love a Pit Rescue.
Hey, welcome to the show, everybody. And welcome back to another episode, Joe. How is everything out there in your world?
Oh,
are you getting ready?
Busy trying to get ready for here. we're pretty much packed except for, you know, final stuff, our meds and our tablet devices that we use and our charge cords.
Yep, get it all together. We're going to need it, advocates. And in case you're wondering what that is all about there, we're going to be in down in Hollywood at the NoHo Theater Friday night. We get a kind of an advanced screening of Chance, the film, the animated feature about a young pit bull named Chance. Who escapes a dogfighting ring and kind of the his adventures in getting away from this and learning and teaching and all this stuff. Was it Foster Quarter said edutainment? So that's where we're going to be. We're going to do a live Facebook thing, and I think hopefully we can get the this year Blog Talk thing fired up for an after show all those times. Going to figure everything out when we're going to get that. Talk to producer, director, hopefully, and people at the event and find out before what they're expecting and find out after what they thought of the film and what they got from it. So tonight,
super excited.
Joe, yeah. Joe, you're driving down. You're driving down.
Yeah, we sure are.
Dedication.
I'll be on my
I'll be on my first flight in 27 years, if you can believe that. It's we'll be flying out into LAX. You're getting there. We're getting there Thursday evening. So Joe, we're trying to time this so we all get down there roughly. Boy, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do it, and we're going to be there, and you guys are going to hear all about it. In the meantime, this is a call-in show, and you're going to want to talk to our guest tonight. We have Kat Taylor from Los Angeles Responsible Pit Bull Owners. We're going to hear about what they do and the types of programs that they've got, training, you know, and all sorts of good things going on with these guys. And by God, we need it. More groups like this, so we're going to find out, hear from them. And they're also, Joe, tomorrow is April 1st, and there's an event that will actually be benefiting the LA Responsible Pit Loaners, and that is the Pits and Giggles. And we're not going to make that, unfortunately. Yeah, I'd like to make that, unfortunately, we're not going to do that. It'd be nice to have all the time in the world to just, you know, kind of jet set and taking all these fun events, but if you're going,
sure would.
Let us know. And if anybody goes there, post a little review on Pitbull Advocate page, facebook.com/ the Pitbull Advocate. And while you're there, be sure to like it. And boy, Joe, I'm ready to do this. You know, have you got anything before we get Kat on the line here and get things going?
No, I think we're ready.
All right, 702, I see you're on the line there. Hang on with us, and we're going to get right with you and get you on the line here. But first, Kat, welcome to the Pitbull Advocate. How you doing?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Great. How are you guys?
Hey, great. Thanks for being here. And it was actually quite short notice. And everything just worked out. Just like we were going to put you in there, and it's like this was going to be an off-the-leash episode, and everything worked out, so thanks for being here.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
All right. First, how long is the Los Angeles Responsible Pit Bull Owners what do you call it, LARPVO, which is called, you know, the you guys. How long have you guys been around? And what was the catalyst where you decided that we want to get this thing going and the types of ideas that were kind of got you where you are now?
Yeah. So LARPVO is a nonprofit organization. We are a nonprofit organization that offers, you know, we say responsible pit bull owners. So we don't discriminate. So all dogs are welcome to these training classes. But we started off, you know, focusing mostly on the bully breeds because they do kind of get a bad rep, of course, unfortunately. And Los Angeles is quite flushed with them. you know, what we really focus on is an outreach, community outreach, especially after adoptions and whatnot, and, you know, focusing really on education classes, training classes. We do group activities, events, pit bull advocacy, all of that, just to promote positive image of the bully breeds, if you will.
Hey, everybody.
What we do have to say, though,
so just real quick,
is that, you know, we don't discriminate. There's enough discrimination out there, especially against the bully breeds. We don't discriminate. All dogs are welcome. And what we're really trying to focus on is for dog owners to have a healthier, kind of more balanced, fun relationship with their dogs. We offer two training Saturdays in Sherman Oaks. So if you're familiar with the area, Sherman Oaks, Van Nuys, is in the valley. And then on Sundays down in Long Beach.
Are you a pit bull owner yourself, Kat?
I sure am. Well, she's quite a mutt, but yes, she definitely has pit bull in her. Her name is Bella. We have had her for almost 2 years now. She is actually the reason why I found LARPVO, and they have really changed my life, changed our life, and it's just been an incredible experience to be a part of their
community. You're still a relatively young group then, and you're out there. How many years?
I'm going to say, and I'm sorry, I'm not 100% on this information, but my understanding is it's about 10 years old, 5 to 10 years.
Okay. You go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I've got a person here that I think I don't know if you know this person. This is who I spoke of earlier, and maybe you know the name, but maybe you don't. So I'm just going to go here and take him on real quick because I know he's got something real important to say. Advocates, please welcome Gordon Shotgun Shell.
Hey, Gordon.
Still got that name going.
I wish I had a really cool intro for you because I can't do that stuff, but I'm not even going to try. But welcome, Gordon.
You did great. Can you hear me clear enough?
Yeah,
yeah,
you're coming
great.
In great, man.
Very good, good.
So you're down.
I'm just dialing in. I didn't get to hear what you guys had talked about yet, but thanks for having me on. I'm in sunny Pasadena right now. So today I have traveled from Detroit to Las Vegas to Burbank to Los Angeles, and now I'm down in Pasadena getting ready for the Pits and Giggles show. So pretty excited about this.
Kat. Do you know Gordon? You know Gordon?
I do know of him. I have not met him personally, Gordon. It's nice to hear you.
Kat, you're going to be at Pits and Giggles? You're going to be at the event, Kat?
I believe I am, yeah.
Okay, can't miss him. Can't miss him. He's the biggest guy in the house. Can't miss him.
Perfect. I'm trying to cut weight. I'm trying to get back down to weight. So I got some bodybuilding shows coming up here shortly, and trying to stay in shape in my old age and trying to do what I can for the dogs with what I got. So, and I'm getting messages through my Facebook Messenger right now that that Tino's listening in to, Tino Sanchez. He's hosting the show, Pits and Giggles show.
How you doing,
so
Tino?
Pretty excited.
Awesome.
It sounds like he's on hold waiting to talk to you, too.
Yeah, is that the 702?
Yeah, he'll be calling from Las Vegas number, most likely.
What's his name?
Tino
Sanchez. Yep, that's him.
Tino
is our head trainer here at LARPO.
T-I-N-O? T-I-N-O,
yep.
All right. Kat, should we bring him on? Tell us more about this show?
Sure.
Gordon, real quick. Yeah, he's actually hosting it. He put the show together, so he just asked me with my background of promoting shows. So I think he'd probably be best to let you know about all the talent.
Okay, let's. It's a Tino, am I right? T-I-N-O, Tino.
Yep.
T-I-N-O, T-I-N-N-O, T-I-N-O, and Tino was his name. Oh.
All right.
Oh,
well, you know, we should. Yeah. Yeah, we should
long
have.
Long time, first time. I'm such a huge Howard Stern fan. Thank you for having me on, Howard. This is awesome. Baba Booey.
So, Tino, how did you get into this? How did you guys get hooked up with the people over at LARPO?
First of all, I got to thank Gordon. Gordon has been amazing. I didn't even know he was calling in on this show. Gordon has been amazing. He's been hyping it up. He's been sharing it. We got Shorty Rossi because of him. He's giving away his movie.
There you go.
We got the Barbie twins. I mean, he's really done a lot. So, Gordon, thanks for coming out on his own dime and helping. So that's a huge thank you to Gordon for that. So,
awesome. Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. Do you guys plan on doing any more events like this?
This is our first one. I've been doing comedy for about 5 years, and when I met LARPO through our Facebook page because we got kind of a big following on Facebook called Peace, Love, and Pitbulls. And so we had some videos go viral, some pictures, caught the eye of Troy Smith, the founder of LARPO. He invited TLP to come out, join forces with LARPO, to, you know, spread the word, the good word, the good news of Pitbulls and advocacy and training, which is what we're doing. And I was in Vegas doing comedy at night, working with dogs in the daytime, and I was like, that's a win-win. I can come out here, I can work with dogs in the day, I can do comedy at night. This is the Mecca besides New York to do comedy. And so I was like, this is what a great idea. There was another show, Rebecca Corey did stand-up for Pits, which I thought was a brilliant idea. And then I was doing for Pitbull Awareness Day 2010, I came up with the name Pits and Giggles, and I thought that'd be a great name for a stand-up show. So we got Brad Williams. I don't know if you're familiar with Brad Williams. He's the little class. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he's worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah, so he
really is. Oh, that guy's fucking funny.
He's really funny. So his wife has been bringing his dog to my Saturday morning class with LARPO that we do out here in Sherman Oaks. And
great.
I was like, and I saw him at the improv, and I told him, just by the name alone, Pits and Giggles, he said, I'm in. And then we got Sam Tripoli, we got Josh Adam Myers, if you're a fan of Bill Burr and Essence for Family, he's a character on there. Josh has been around for a while. A really great comic named Craig Conan, and then a friend of mine from Las Vegas named Stephen Briggs. We also have some pop-ins, a guy from Australia named Craig Lowe, and then maybe a couple of other local guys out here. Anyway, I'm talking too much. Really excited. It's going on tomorrow, April 1st, at the Pasadena IFL.
Okay. Where is the show? What's the time? And are there tickets still available?
Yes. 7:30 tomorrow night, Pasadena Ice House. It's a legendary club. And I think it's the oldest comedy club in America. So it's a huge honor for me to even be in. Yeah, it's a huge honor for me to be there. We got plenty of tickets left. If we sell out, we'll do a second show. But 7:30, doors are at 6:30.
Wow, great.
Come on out.
Second show, Kat. Let's go for that sellout show. Then, Kat, you guys get a double dose. Let's do that. Hey, I think I have time. If I might be able to exchange a ticket and be out of here probably within 2 hours after showtime to get down there in time for the show. You think so, Joe? Joe.
I think you should come down.
I say you do it.
Oh, sorry. Was talking with my wife in the background. What's up?
Oh, I was going to say, I'm gonna trade that ticket in, and I'm going to get me a red eye out of Prescott, and I should be in L.A., I say, within maybe 2-3 hours after showtime. What do you think?
That's perfect.
Yeah, another kind of awesome thing, though, is that there are three tiers for tickets. There's the dog lover, top dog, and pack leader. And when you buy a pack leader, which is VIP, you get a copy of Gordon Spell's movie. So that's kind of amazing, too.
Gordon,
yeah.
Do you have any T-shirts? Did you bring any Vic shirts, Gordon?
I only brought, I assume because they're little people, I only had a couple of smalls, so I thought I'd bring some for Brett and Shorty, but I can always take some. I pack a really small suitcase. I'm traveling a lot, but I've still got
things. I think we only have 2XL of LARPO shirts. You should bring one to Gordon.
I'm not that big. I'm coming down. Everybody, man, I'm getting beat up tonight. I'm down about 200 pounds. So. Nice and lean and mean. I'm going to go down and work out on Venice Beach tomorrow and try to live through the old legendary bodybuilder. So I'm going to get a morning workout down on Muscle Beach and then get ready to come up and help out with the show.
They let the dogs on Muscle Beach, Gordon?
What's that?
They let the dogs on Muscle Beach?
Yeah, I believe it's dog friendly. I haven't spent a whole lot of time down there. I'm sure Tino knows more about it, but I'm pretty sure that the boardwalk down there is dog friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get down there with some dogs. Get down there with some dogs tomorrow, Kat. Get down there with the dogs tomorrow, Kat, and do a photo shoot with Gordon. That would be awesome.
That would be
awesome. Come on down. Well, oil me up and then give me a good angle
to
make me look good.
Well, if you all want to hang around long enough and meet up with us when we're down there on the 4th, I'll have my professional camera with you and with my, and you know, I can take some of you guys' pictures and meet you all and everything.
That'll be awesome.
Where are you at? You're in LA?
I'll be
we're
in LA 4th, 5th, and 6th. Yeah, we're going to be.
Oh, okay. I have to fly out. I have to go to San Francisco and some other business on Tuesday. But I'll be back. You know, hopefully this is going to be a successful LARPO and Tino, and maybe we can do a couple of these, or maybe we can take them to some different cities. I've already reached out to MGM in Las Vegas, and the event planner there said if it's a success here, maybe we can bring it out to Vegas and do one there, and you know, try to pull in those bigger crowds. And Tino's got to be
Phoenix
with all the comedians, and he's got his connections in Las Vegas.
Love to see you guys in Portland too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wherever we can take it, I would love to see this go national. You know, if we can get there's plenty of comedians across the country, and we did the Stand Up for Pitts in Detroit. Those proceeds went to Bark Nation. We're doing a 420 event for Bark Nation coming up on 420, obviously. It's going to be pet friendly. We're going to do some CBD sponsored treats for the dogs through the greenhouse of Walled Lake. That's my hometown back in Michigan. So we've got a nice 420 event there. They reached out and wanted to do something with the dogs, and I don't even smoke, but I think that day maybe I'll partake and, enjoy the day and let everybody, adopt a dog at the same time.
Yeah. Hey, you guys come to Phoenix, maybe you guys let me get up there and do a bit, because somebody told me I was funny once. But looks aren't everything. That's why I'm on radio.
Wah, wah, wah.
Ah. Yeah, boy, I just killed this show with that. Oh my god.
Well, if you want to see the real comedians, you can come out tomorrow night. We can make up.
Nice segue.
Yeah.
Nice segue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it is at the Ice House. That's one of the, everybody, all the comedians all say that's the best venue for comedy, even when they're just working out, or even to do a headline show. So, It sounds like an awesome venue. I've never been there myself. I listen to Joe Rogan pretty religiously, and it's his favorite club to play. And, you know, all the comedians that are linked in with him all praise the Ice House. I think they've given Tino a good deal, and they're helping to participate in this. So, you know, all the support we can get for the dogs and for the Ice House, and I'm sure
yeah,
Brad's
really cool. Driven.
You know,
yeah,
Brad,
really
Brad's
cool
really
about
hurting
it.
With his career right now after having Netflix special, so I'm sure he could use the publicity too.
Yeah.
So you're helping out all kinds of causes.
Right.
Well, I know there's a pretty good pit bull community up in this area, and of course, being rescue up in the area, we've got quite a few followers here, so I'm sure if you guys hit Portland and we were to share, we could draw a pretty good crowd.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, well, everywhere I've gone, I mean, I think I've been all the way over to Germany, and it's amazing everywhere you go. And there's a automatic euthanization in Germany. I mean, anything with the pit bull name or any aggression over there, just larger dogs, they automatically euthanize them. So I've been fortunate enough to go over there and do some work. And you find out there's pit bull communities everywhere, you know, all around the world. I spent some time in Israel, and that's, I don't know anything about Israel except what I see on CNN, and I was very surprised to see that they're very pit bull friendly over there and dog friendly, and I have a company in China, and everything that we hear about China is just horrible when it comes to dogs, but I work with a family out of China, and I have a factory out in Shanghai, and it's not what you think, and they, you know, they actually own dogs there. They don't just eat them. You know, that's something that we only see in the press. And that's
yeah.
more, you know, it's a poor people food. When you get out in the hills, they have to survive, and there's no reason for it, but that's kind of culture. So, you know, everywhere I go in the U.S., there's dog lovers and especially pit bulls, and we've got the crazies out there. And Jordy's been working on a really good campaign right now against the dogbite.org people, the crazies that run that. And he put together some great stuff that we're going to go public with. And he's asked me to share that. And, I mean, he did an amazing job pulling up all the data and all the false reports that Colleen puts together. And that's the first thing. She does so well with the Google buy-ins that she gets the Google positioning. And anytime a major media outlet goes to search on Dogbite, the very first thing that pops up is Colleen's website. So they start reporting all that false information, which just destroys us in the media. So if we can combat that with some true facts and Shorty's, you know, attached his name to it, so having his publicity and background, that helps. And if I can strap my kind of has-been name to it, and we get linked up with people like Tino and all the other groups across the country, you know, we can combat this false information and start changing the laws, and that's the overall, you know, goal, to change the laws.
Yep. Yeah, that's where you come in, Kat, with you guys, you know, stepping up to the plate, doing this for, you know, as long as you have, and to get the support from Gordon and Tino and everybody at Pits and Giggles. You guys are on the move, and I think this is going to be a really big boost for you guys to really step out and make some noise. So all you guys, you know.
Yeah. We're really lucky. I mean, so LARPA was founded in 2011. We've been around for now 8 years. And I think that it's, you know, really important to be able to just build a community of kind of like-minded people, especially, you know, I think that it's exactly that. The media has kind of perpetuated this image that, you know, it takes a village to fight, unfortunately. And really, you know, Troy, the founder of LARPO, is, you know, when he was asked how to change minds of people with regards to your dog, it's just let your dog do the talking, is what he said. And so that's kind of the foundation of LARPO is to be able to let your dog do the talking. And that's done by being a responsible owner, building that that bond with your dog that is unbreakable. And you know, LARPO, I mean, you know, I speak from someone who got a puppy and said, "What the heck are you?" You know, you were branded as a lab mix. Haha. You know. And we took one look at her and said, maybe, but definitely Pit. And we love her nonetheless. And you know, it's just this amazing dog that has blossomed because of this community and that is LARPO, and I just want everyone to be able to have that, you know.
Yeah. Kat, what is your definition of, and Tino and Gordon, feel free to chime in on this too, and Joe, what is your definition of a responsible pit bull owner as far as you see it? When you say that, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So, you know, I think the responsible owner is one who is fully aware of the dog that they have, not the dog that they think that they want to have. You know, there's no one cookie cutter dog, and the fact that they are constantly communicating with you and constantly pleasing and trying to please and maybe frustrated and whatnot, it's our responsibility as owners to try and figure out what they're trying to tell you and what they're trying to, you know, understand with everything that's going on in their world. And as a responsible owner, it's our job to figure out how to best make them thrive and succeed and, you know, feel confident and be just excited to be dogs, you know, especially because so often pits are just kind of thrown into shelters, and larger dogs here in LA too are just thrown into shelters, and then it's just a confusing situation. And so when we're able to pull them out and to have them in front of us and to say, okay, what are we working with here? How can we best communicate? To me, as a responsible owner or foster or whatnot, trainer, et cetera, we have to learn what the dog is telling us before we can work with that dog.
Right.
Well, and part of it is also I hear too many people, oh, we decided to go out and get a pit, and then 6 months down the road, well, I didn't know this about the breed, and I didn't know that about the breed, and I didn't know this about the breed. I don't know if I can handle this dog. So part of that responsible ownership, too, is if you're getting into a new breed, you know, get online and educate yourself about the breed. Know what to expect.
Right.
You know, me it's getting Dosha when I first got her, which is how I got into rescue and stuff, you know. I had fallen in love with my mom's roommate, Pitty, and she said that she was going to get me, so I went one. So I went home and I educated myself. So I knew about the potential problems that can come with a bully breed, you know, prey drive, et cetera, and what to expect and what to look out for, so that I wasn't just, you know, walking blindly into a dog and then 6 months down the road, oh, I can't handle this dog and getting rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's making a commitment.
This is Tino. I think it's not a responsible pit bull owner, just a responsible dog owner, because
These are dogs.
The difference is they're the lowest maintenance of dogs. They're really smart. They're just the perfect dog for someone who's. I mean, here's the thing. They say any guy can have a kid, but not every guy can be a father. The same thing with dogs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, I had a lot of trial and very much error when I got my very first dog, which wasn't a pit bull. I was a kid. I didn't know what I was doing. He ran away and I was sad, but I never spent time with him. And then as I got older, I realized, oh, this is a family member. I have to love this thing.
Yeah.
This dog's going to love me whether I include him or not. I can treat my dog like crap and he's still going to love me. So when you get out of that that thing of it, put it on the shelf and then come spend time with it when you want or be sad when he's dead, but you never spent time with him. This is a family member. And if you just treat it like a family member, and it's going to love you unconditionally either way, but just being a responsible dog owner, the breed has nothing to do with it. These dogs are super great.
Yeah.
They're super loyal and they're the lowest maintenance. So just be responsible with, you know, with anything, any dog.
You know what? I want to add to what Tino just said, and that's exactly right. You know, it's a dog owner, and I got to spend, I had dinner with Stephen Baldwin this evening. So he worked with me in rescue when I was in Detroit and he was in Ohio, because we're only a few hours apart, and we filmed the show with Lionsgate and a couple other things. But he's since moved out here to the Burbank area, and he's got a sanctuary now, and he's actually training wolves and doing rehab work with pits and all breeds. And tonight at dinner, he got a phone call because before dinner he dropped off a yellow lab, and he went to do the meet and greet. They've done a couple of meet and greets with his family. The family has another dog, and the yellow lab that Stefan dropped off can be animal aggressive. And by the time Stefan got to dinner with me, that dog had already gone after their dog. And Stefan had already spent 3 or 4 hours with them today during the meet and greet, gave them some distinct instructions on how to work those dogs together. Don't just throw them into the yard and let them go. You know, there's going to be some work into this. And they knew this. They've been communicating for weeks. And by the time he gets to dinner, they're already calling saying, I don't think I can handle this. It's too much energy. And I just looked at Stefan and I said, oh, there's people problems here in California too, huh? You know, because then that's it. It's a people problem. It really wasn't a dog's problem, because the dog at Stefan's sanctuary, he has 50 dogs there. That dog has lived in that sanctuary for weeks now, and it's playing with all 50 dogs. So he's got that dog in a certain situation, and under the right direction and control, that dog does very well with other animals. And he explained it to these new owners or soon-to-be owners, and they don't follow direction, and they don't educate themselves. And that's not even a bull breed. That's a yellow lab. And mm-hmm. if people don't take the time to realize that it's a family member, but it's also an animal, doesn't speak English, there's certain things that we have to do to communicate with them, and we give them directions on how to do that. And if they're not going to pay attention to that, then they're just – they're hurting the whole cause. And I worked with Tia on a show. She came into Detroit to do some work, and we had the whole public there, and they're spouting off questions to us. And somebody stood up, and they're like, you know, Tia, we have to explain to the world that everybody should have a pit bull. Everybody, you know. And I kind of said, hey, slow down. Not everybody should have a pit bull.
Not everybody should have a dog. Sorry.
Yeah, not everybody. I mean, an 800 horsepower Dodge Charger isn't going to kill you, but under the control of somebody that doesn't know how to drive a car, isn't responsible, that 800 horsepower car can be dangerous. A 50 horsepower vehicle can be dangerous under the control of the wrong person. So just comparing, I mean, a Chihuahua, a Pitbull, a Rottweiler, whatever it is, whoever is in control of that can be the one that triggers the danger. So we have a people
yep.
problem. Wait, who's
on the line that doesn't know what a mute button is?
I think they're celebrating 420. I think they're celebrating 420 earlier. I think we call that stank weed. You don't breathe in that deep. You got to slowly put that in.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, a perfect example of that is, you know, I was working with a gal and her dog that was, they had found the dog up in the woods and it had always been dog aggressive, and they wanted to be able to go to events like Portland Pit Bull Parade without the dog reacting. So I'd been working with these people for about a couple months, and, you know, one I'd work with one and he'd do really good, and then I'd hear about the other having problems. So I went out and worked with her one day. And I looked at her and I said, do you have emotional issues? She says, well, yeah, I'm anxiety. I said, oh, and that's why you have a problem with the dog. She says, what do you mean? I said, I don't care how you feel inside as long as you don't travel it down that leash, because as soon as you travel it down that leash, he's going to feel it. He's going to react to any dog that you pass. You know? And as soon as she started relaxing the lead and quit clenching on it and letting that anxiety travel down the lead, he started walking beside my girl with no problem. And, I mean, you know, perfect example of what we're talking about, you know, just following directions, communicating with your dogs properly, you know, it all makes a healthy relationship with your dogs.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You know,
go ahead, Kat.
Sorry, go ahead. No, it was funny. You know, it's amazing to see first-timers come to LARPO classes because, you know, there's a level of kind of, and I was there too, this sort of like glazed look of what the heck am I doing? And, you know, my dog has a lot of energy and et cetera, and I can't bond and I can't connect. And you know, and it's kind of like, okay, let's all take a deep breath. And by the end of class, this dog has just, you know, become such a marshmallow to this person that has decided to, you know, connect and bond and whatnot. But it just, it's amazing to see how many people come to class with a dog that has so much pent-up energy and the ease of just saying, hey, let's go throw a ball. Let's burn off some of that energy so that there can be a layer of that removed, so that there can be a two-way communication. And you know, then you as an owner, as a handler, see a calm dog, and you can also calm down. I think that sort of plays into a lot of it as well. Is that it is a high energy breed. There's the prey drive. There's, you know, a lot of elements involved, and if we can kind of train ourselves to remove some of those elements in the high energy side of things, you know, there's
I have to say that's with any dog. There's high energy, there's prey drive in all dogs. You see a little chihuahua grab a little chew toy and chew and shake its head. That's an all dog. But one thing I wanted to add to what she's saying is with class is, when people see how well-behaved our dogs are, I run the class on Saturday. They think, oh, my God, I don't have all that time to train. No, what I tell my clients all the time is the time – if you walk your dog in L.A., they walk their dogs multiple times a day. I say if you spend the time working on these exercises and the amount of time that you're walking your dog while you're walking your dog, you can have a very well-behaved dog. It doesn't take hours.
Yep.
It doesn't take – months and months of training, you know, and I always tell people, I'm not training your dog. I'm training you to train your dog. It's like, you know, teach the man to fish kind of thing. It's like, like to do one-on-one with I do boarding trains where the dog comes and live with me, but I actually do less of those because I tell the client, I go, look, it's like if someone buys you a guitar and I go home and practice with it. I need you to practice. I need you to do the homework.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that you just take these things that we do in class, these few exercises, and you practice them, and you get your dog exercise, and you include them in the family life. You don't do what Karen DeLeese calls a substandard owner. Great book by Karen DeLeese called the Pitbull Placebo. You can't buy it on paperback anymore. You can download the PDF. Everyone should read it, the Pitbull Placebo. If you include your dog, if you love your dog, if you spend as much time training as you do walking while you're walking, you'll have a really well-behaved dog. It doesn't take hours and hours a day.
No,
it doesn't.
I have a service dog. I have a service dog, and I've always used our rescue dogs as service dogs for it. You know, they appreciate what they have more and are more eager to please, and so I've just always used them as my service dogs. And so, like,
that's
my
true.
Current one is just a little over 2 years old, and I can be walking around a store and people come up all the time. How old's your dog? Just a little over two. And she's that calm. Can you train my dog to do that? No. Well, why not? Well, because it does no good for me to train your dog to listen to me. It needs to listen to you, because otherwise I send it home and you're back to having issues. And now, you know, you're upset because your dog's not doing what you want it to do. If you want your dog to behave, your dog needs to learn to listen to you, and you need to communicate with it.
That's so great that you brought that up, because Kat was mentioning that about class. that you're like, your dog is so calm, and I get that all the time. Your dog is so chill. You know why? Because I include him. My brother has a dog, and he wasn't going to do any training whatsoever. I knew he wasn't. I said, Jason, take that dog with you anytime you can. Put him in the car. Take him with you. Expose him to different environments. Take him with you as much as you can. And that dog is just as well-behaved as my dog, and he did no training. All he did was take his dog out. So people, you want to have calm dogs, include it. You take a dog out for the first time, of course he's going to be crazy. He's like, oh, my God, look at this. Look at this. Smell this. Who's that? What's that? He's going to go crazy. So take your dog out, include him. Bandit saying hi. Take your dog. All right, I'm getting the cuckoo. Really? What is this, Howard Stern? Okay. So just include your dog. Yeah. I'm cuckoo about getting these dogs trained and getting people to know. I mean, God, I wish I had the internet when I started this. The knowledge that's out there, there's no excuse to have an ill-behaved dog. There's so much knowledge out there. Get your dog trained. There you go.
Well, you know, I think the beauty of LARPO, and kind of just, you know, shameless plug over here, but there's a simplicity in the training in that it's really focusing on four kind of basic things. And I don't want to say basic because not everyone can nail them, and that's okay. That's not the point. The point is to build a relationship with your dog. But LARPO builds on four basic training of sit down, come, and place. And place is basically just telling your dog to go to a certain place, be it a box, a bed, a table mat if you have it on the floor, whatever it is. And those are four things that are really, really crucial to building that bond and that relationship with your dog. And you know, it's not rocket science. It's not asking your dog to stand on its hind legs and wave to people. It's not, you know, it's not circus tricks. It's really just commands that you can use every single day in any situation and build off of that. And it's just a foundation that is so, so wonderful that I think that, you know, like Tina was saying, it doesn't take hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. It takes 15 minutes to ask your dog to sit and stay, and, you know, you go about your business. It's really just, it's, you know, asking kind of, I don't want to say the fundamentals, because not every dog has the fundamentals, but it's asking not a huge lot, but so, so crucial. And you know what LARPO also does is we build towards CGC, which is an AKC certified, you know, recognized canine good citizenship, and that especially for the pit breeds, but any breed is a feather in your cap. I mean, that's such a cool thing to be able to say, hey, my dog is CGC certified, and can build off of that. And it's, while it sounds like this huge thing, and it is a huge thing, I don't mean to diminish it, it's also really, really fun and exciting, and it takes work, but it's so, so within anyone's grasp.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, in my service dog training for my dogs, place is the same as lay down and stay. If I say place to snap on the ground, they lay down there and they stay, and I can drop the leash and I can walk to the end of the aisle and pick up something and come back, and they stay there.
Yep.
The only main issue I'm still having with anything is my current girl, which is the 2-year-old. She was in a shelter for a year, and during that year, her expulsion of energy was playgroups of 11 to 15 dogs. So, of course, when we're out working and she sees another service dog, she wants to play. So she still whines and pulls and stuff, and we're getting better, but it's been a long road. But other than that, she's super smart, picks up things, doing great, way ahead any of my other service dogs I've trained. She's smart as a whip. So, I mean, I enjoy doing the training and having the dogs by my side anyways, but it's just been a real joy with her.
Hey, guys, this is a call-in show. It's 929-477-2860, 929-477-2860. We have Kat from Los Angeles, Responsible Pit Bull Owners, and we have Tino from the Pits and Giggles, and we have Gordon Shotgun Shell. We need the big announcer thing going there for this guy. You are a busy, busy guy, and for you to step in line for this, for such a great cause, you know, to see you kind of put that, you know, for anybody that's out there, you know, who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk, for you to get involved, man, you got your, you know, you're flying in here, you're flying out there. So, what are you looking forward to the most? What are you looking forward to the most with this show? All you guys, let's start with Gordon, Tino, Kat. What are you guys looking for to come out of this show tomorrow night?
Well, obviously, I want Larpo to, you know, benefit from the show, and Tino does a lot. And I met him probably 5 years ago, and I'd watched him online. And when you somebody had mentioned being able to drop their lead and walk down the aisle, and their dogs will sit there. You know, one of my favorite videos that I show to everybody is he has all of his dogs in his Jeep, and he stops down in the court of a street and pulls like a quarter of a mile down the road. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but it was far enough down that those dogs all sat in that court of that street, and he pulled his Jeep down the road and just started naming them off one by one, and they would come running down the street one by one and jump up in the Jeep. And he had such good control over those dogs that it was such a good example. And the more we can expose people that are doing that type of work, you know, and having big names like Brad Williams and Sam Tripoli and all the stars that popped up for this show, they understand what he does and what Larpo does and all these trainers. If we can get that exposure out there, that's the main thing. And when you can attach big names to it or attach it to a show or whatever you can do, that just gives such a good voice for these dogs that are just – They think that these are just bred in the backyard. They get trained how to fight, and then they're just set free into a home with a bunch of kids, and then somebody gets bit. You know, they don't understand that there's a whole community that actually trains dogs, cares for these dogs, and does so much. So, I mean, exposure is the big thing. Just letting the world know that there's people out there that are taking care of these dogs, and I'll do anything I can. I mean, this is the easy part for me, you know, doing these shows. When I got into this, I'm former law enforcement. I've been shot 6 times, stabbed 3 times. The majority of those happened during rescues. And now I get to show up at comedy clubs and just watch people laugh. So, and then I fought for 28 years, getting punched in the face, trying to get exposure for this. Now I get to travel to California from – I left Detroit. There was an inch of snow on the ground. It was 26 degrees. I'm in California. I'm going to a comedy show, and you guys are acting like I'm doing something special. This is what I love, and this is the easy part of my life. You know, I'm in the golden years now.
Yeah.
Now I can just watch you guys do the work, and anything I can do to help you guys get the exposure of the hard work you're putting in and give the dogs a voice. I mean, that's the whole goal.
Yeah. Gordon, we talked before. We shoot messages back and forth. You know, it's always, you know, you're busy, and we will get you back because I want to really kind of get into that if you want to talk about that part of your life. Because I think you know, people can watch all the reality TV that they want on something like that, but to hear it from somebody who is actually involved, your perspective, the things you've seen, you know.
I just started writing my memoirs, and I'm about 6 months into my memoirs, and just writing it down on paper, it sounds a little crazy just writing it down. So there's just a lot of stuff that happened in rescue, you know, both inside and outside of rescue. I mean, just the rescue world outside of the dogs and the gangs and the fighting and everything else, the controversy that happens between rescue groups is just scary. You know, it's sad.
Yeah.
It becomes a competition, but beyond that,
Preach.
There's just some laws
Preach.
That we have to change.
Yeah,
I'm documenting what happened to me in Virginia in the Accomack case. There's a lot that people don't know. I mean, that one, they could make a movie out of that one, just what happened to me in the prison and that. I mean, just think of Hazard County from Dukes of Hazzard and Boss Hogg and Roscoe.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what that city is, and it's an animal cruelty capital. And I exposed it, and they tried to make an example of me. So there's a lot of story to be told, and hopefully we'll change some things, and we can protest, and we can do all kinds of stuff. And you're really just putting a Band-Aid on stuff. Until we change the laws on animal cruelty and change the laws on breed-specific legislation and things like that, you know, we're really just putting Band-Aids on things. And that's my overall goal, is to pick the big picture and change the laws and give these dogs a chance and give the rescue groups a chance.
Yeah.
Gordon brought up hitting on educating. One of the things that I've done with my service dogs, and, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's a big no-no and everything, but it, downright, when I'm having issues, my dogs ignore anybody anyways, but I teach them socialize and working. So when I say socialize, they can go see somebody, and when I say working, they stay at my side. And because I've done that, and because they go with me everywhere in the stores, I've used my dogs a lot to educate. And especially Dosha, a lot of people would come up and ask to pet her and pet her, and, oh, she's so loving. What is she, Pitbull? Really, I thought pit bulls were aggressive. Not if you're, you know, treating your dog right. They're not aggressive. They're a sweet dog just like any other dog. And you know, I mean, we're not into the whole, you know, oh, I've done this and I've done that and all that. We don't want credit for anything. We're out here to help dogs. We don't care what another rescue's done. We don't care what we've done. We just keep helping dogs. But, you know, it's nice to see people see a different side of pit bulls and accept it because they're a service dog and they expect a certain standard out of service dog instead of just seeing pit bull go, oh, no, that's a vicious dog.
Yeah,
I want to chime in here. Go ahead.
Who's that? Is that Tino?
It's Tino, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and see what you can say, but I also want you to answer the question, what are you looking to get out of this show? So
well,
that's
part of it. I'm gonna include that in with this. I wanted to touch on what he just said just now about pit bulls are aggressive. The main point of this whole thing that I want to spread, and again, Karen DeLeese in the book, The Pit Bull Placebo, is dogs, just like everybody else, are individuals. Because you said, the woman said, well, I heard pit bulls are aggressive. I know, I've heard this many times. I have a friend, she had a boyfriend, and she had the sweetest pit bull, and you look at him, he's dark, and he looks kind of intimidating. He started being really timid around the boyfriend, and she couldn't understand why. She hit a camera, one of the teddy bear cameras. He was beating the crap out of this dog.
Oh.
And this dog was this is a pit bull and beautiful. I mean, he looks like a game pit bull. Like if you were to look at the wiry kind of fighting pit bulls, that's what he looks like. He was beating the crap out of this dog, and she since had him arrested. He was three strikes, that kind of thing. But we're talking about a pit bull that didn't know he was a pit bull. And he was getting his ass beat, and he was doing nothing. So even when some dogs, my point is they're individuals. You can be certain dogs and they're not going to do anything. There's some dogs that aren't going to take it. That's not the pit bull breed. That's any dog. Some dogs are going to take it.
Yep.
Some dogs are not going to take it. And then what I wanted to talk about, the message of Pits and Giggles, Peace, Love, and Pit Bulls, and LARPO is with this fundraiser, with LARPO, whatever we're doing, we just want to spread the news of, hey, dogs are individuals. These are dogs that need love just like any other dog. These are dogs that are exploited because of their loyalty, because of their strength and their devotion. And what I want to also touch on is what Gordon said. People stop fighting. When I started Peace, Love, and Pit Bulls in 2010, just what Gordon was saying about the drama between rescues, I could not believe when I was reaching out to other organizations and how they acted. And, oh, I don't like the way you train this way. I don't like the way you feed this dog. Meanwhile, dogs are dying in shelters. Meanwhile, dogs are dying in shelters because we can't get along because you don't like the way I train, or you don't like the way I feed my dog, or you don't like – I don't care if you're the Antichrist. If you're pulling dogs from shelters and you're helping pit bulls, I will work with you. This is Tino from Peace, Love, and Pit Bulls and LARPO. Anybody out there, I will share your event. If you hit me up, I will share your event. I will – I mean, we're not. I've hit all the rescues and stuff online. I'm like, hey, share this. Nobody's sharing it. It's like I don't understand the drama between rescues, and it's got to stop. But that's just like with any walk of life, I guess, right? Yeah,
send
you know,
it to us. We'll share it.
Yeah, you know what? One thing I say is if we're not all on the same page, that's obvious. But if we're in the same book, maybe we can.
Yes.
That gives us a little room to work together. Be in the same fucking book.
Yep.
Because I see it. I was involved in it, and I just got. I have removed so much from my social media pages. I feel so much better because it's like, so and so did this. And they post these screenshots. It's just like, stop. But you know, and that's why we do this here for guys like Joe with Love and Pit Rescue in Oregon, and Kat, you know, and you guys doing what you're doing out there, and everybody else is just, you know, in it for the dogs, you know. In it for the dogs.
Yep.
I'm
saying it again. If you're in rescue and you want me to share, we have kind of a big following. But Facebook isn't letting us get all our followers because they're trying to squeeze everybody for money now. But if you're a rescue, I will share it. I will share it on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Hit me up. I don't care who you are. Tell me about your movement, about your fundraiser. I will share it. Anybody who's helping Pitbulls.
Yeah. We'll do the same thing on our Facebook page, you know, Pitbull Advocate. Tito, if someone's out there listening, you've got an organization, you've got an idea, you have an event. How do they get that to you?
I wanted to talk about that too. Yeah. So just be an example. Kat was talking about it. This was a passion project. I love my dogs. I included them. I trained them really well. I was a DJ in Vegas for almost 20 years. I did this on the side. I sent so much business to the company that I trained with that they were giving me free stuff all the time. Then I just started training because I was like, I don't want to be a DJ forever. So I started training and I kind of fell into this thing. So you can do stuff like this. You can train your dog. You can take your dog with you and show how well-behaved your dog is. We got famous because of a kissing booth picture. Five pit bulls in a little booth in a bar. It was called Bark in the Park. It was different fundraisers that happened. And just do stuff like that. Just you don't have to. I procrastinated on starting a 501c3 because I was like, oh, I don't have a facility. I don't have the time. No, you know what you could do? You can go save one dog. You can go to the pound, which is what I did. I saved one dog. His name was the first dog I ever saved, her name was Bailey. She lived with me for about a month. I trained her. I got her in a home in a month. And I did that for about 4 months. And then I ended up with a foster fail. And then I ended up with six dogs and I didn't have the room anymore. But just be an example. Just post cute pictures of your pit bull. Go volunteer. Go save a dog. Get training. Don't be one of these people that watches an episode of Caesar and thinks that you know everything. Go get some formal training. I did that. I thought I knew what I was doing until I really got down and got some training in 2004 and started really working with dogs and getting some training. But be an example. That's the answer.
Where you got the training. I heard you. It sounded like you said you got the training, and I'm agreeing with you. Got the training. You were given the tools. You were trained to train your dog. You can take your dog to a dog trainer and have somebody train your dog, but that doesn't mean shit if you don't follow through.
That's right. By
so,
the way, I wish I had known we could swear because I've been swearing the whole time. Damn it.
Oh. Well, we usually let that. You know, off at the top of the show with our guests, I kind of anticipated that you might, you know, but feel free, please, you know.
If we can get people to show up at the fucking ice house tomorrow, there'll be a lot of fucking swimming.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's what we're talking about right there.
By the way, one more thing. By the way, I'm glad you brought this up. People, this is. Are we on? Are we off the air? Oh, shit.
No, you're on the air. No, you're all right.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere.
I just want to say one more thing. People coming to this show tomorrow, this is a comedy show. If you're thin skinned, don't talk back. Don't head for the comments. There's going to be jokes. There's going to be some edgy stuff. It's not going to be all, you know, rainbows and, you know, dog farts. It's a comedy show. Just don't be surprised if you come. Anyway, go ahead.
No. Well, that's the thing. Being thin-skinned, being a pit bull owner, being thin-skinned, if you've got a pit bull, you better have a thick skin, because if you don't know what you signed up for, and go enjoy yourself at the show, because it's going to be really fucking funny.
There you go.
Good talk, guys.
Will there be DVD? Should we get some? Yes,
I'm bringing Gordon's movie. I was going to say that too. I don't want to hijack this thing, but Gordon he sent a big box of The Dog's Fighter, which is I got a bunch of DVDs. I'm going to be giving them away. Unless you want me to sell them, Gordon, you tell me. We're going to be giving them away.
The whole idea with that movie was to get the message out. So, I mean, throw them the VIPs and then everybody that comes through and anybody that wants one. We'll hit them up. We'll get them more. I've got plenty of copies. I way overbought. We only sold like 40 million of that movie, so I've got 39 million left in my garage. So,
hey, Gordon, if you sign one of those for me, I'll make a $50 donation to LARPO.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because honestly, we've started watching. Something comes up, and there's another thing that we got to talk about is the film. But I'll gladly make that donation through your movie.
I'd love to have a copy, but you don't have to sign it.
I've got plenty of copies. I'll get you guys all copies. And the overall goal is I've been talking to the director, Doug Schultz. I own the rights to the DVD sales now. And anything that I do, Netflix or anything like that, I have to get permission from Doug. And we're working right now to hopefully release it on Amazon Prime and Netflix. So the whole idea is to get that movie out. The money that's going to be made off of it's already been made. We've donated the majority of it, and now we just want to get that message. It's released in 2013, so still stands up. I still look just as young. You know, everything's good.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot, and hopefully, you know, maybe there'll be a sequel if Vic ever steps up. So we'll see.
Let's see. I would love
Gauntlet Throne.
Yeah. Hey, Kat.
Tamino's a black belt martial artist himself. So if I get too old or broken, I'm sure he'll step up and take that 30-second takedown and finish it for me. But I'm first in line, and
yeah,
I get older, but he gets older too.
I love to cuddle with Michael Vick. I have a black belt in cuddling, literally.
He does. So.
Hey, Kat.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, Kat, I gotta hit you real quick. We still got a little bit of time left. What do you hope to take from this whole event, with Tina,
money.
And Gordon, and everybody involved? besides the money, which is gonna. You know, I don't know what it costs to fund, you know, your things, but what kind of things do you like to take from this?
Well, you know, one of the big specifics, especially from this show, is that LARPO is working on a new program called the Shelter Intervention and Prevention Program, so SIP. And that is a program that we're establishing to help kind of intervene with dogs who need the training before the owner surrenders, or, you know, a dog who is hopefully not being returned to the shelter. You know, sometimes you get a dog from the shelter and everything is sunshine and roses when you meet them, and then you bring them home and the first sign of trouble, then the dog gets returned, and it's just like, whoa, this dog just ate a shoe. That's not a big deal, but to a new dog owner, that can seem astronomical, of course, and it's kind of like, this is not what I signed up for. So what we're hoping to do, especially because we work very closely with LA Animal Services, and specifically East Valley Animal Shelter, which is in the Van Nuys Sherman Oaks area, our trainers and trainers in training go into those shelters and help the those working, the volunteers in the shelters, to have the tools to work with the dogs, but not just work with the dogs, work with those who are looking to adopt, looking to foster, et cetera, so that we can kind of have this ripple effect into the community. And so this show in particular will help to sort of spearhead this SHIP program, which is offering new adoptees, new adopters, et cetera, free classes. And it's a series of classes that they come to, either the Sherman Oaks or the Long Beach class. It's a voucher. You know, they get a certain number of classes that they will then have to kind of check in after a few classes to make sure that everyone is checks and balances and progress is being made, because that's really the important part, is that there is some progress, there is some connection, there is some foundation that we can build on. And that is the big thing, because the rate of return is so sad in LA, and I hate to say that, but it is so often that dogs are returned either because their first night in, their first day in, their first week in a new situation is very stressful, and that's just sort of how it goes. It's not.
Kat, do you know the numbers, the percentage? Because in Vegas, it's 40%. 40% get returned. Yeah.
I don't know specific numbers, mostly because, you know, it's, I'm sure, not too dissimilar. And it's insane to me, though, that, you know, we can't arm. And I think that's the huge part, is that the ability to arm people with the tools so that this doesn't happen. And it's not just the owners. It's also working with the shelters and, you know, being able to give people not just tools, but the confidence to do this. Because I know a lot of people have touched on this in this show and in other episodes of this show. It's the confidence when working with a dog that really translates into success. And
That's it. It really
and,
is.
Yeah. And so that boiled down is what we're hoping to spearhead and all have a good laugh in the name of SHIP, because goodness knows this breed and all breeds need just a little bit of softness and kindness.
And wait till all of our adopters, you know, expect 3 weeks to 2 months of transition time for a dog, because it is stressful for them to move. And if there anything comes up they don't know how to handle, feel free to contact us. We'll come out. We'll help them deal with it, et cetera. You know, we really stand behind our dogs. And I think that's why we've had so much success with our dogs staying in their home. In the 12 years we've been doing this, we have had 3 returns and 2 that we've had to pull. So, you know, our numbers are fairly well. So something that we're doing is right, and we're proud of that. Yeah. Also on that, I want to touch back to something else. I think it was Tino that said it about just pulling one dog to get a 501c3 or to get started. I want to say that's exactly how we started. When we got the okay here to start being able to rescue dogs on this property, it was 1 to 2 dogs at a time. And as things went along and things kept going smoother, people started donating, you know, kennel panels, and we were able to expand our facility, and we were able to take in more dogs. And that's really how it starts, just 1 or 2 dogs at a time. So if somebody's got some property and they're serious about doing this and wants to learn the skills to be rescuing dogs, it doesn't have to be pit bulls, but dogs, by all means, don't hesitate to step up and get that 501, because once you get that 501, that's where your backing comes in, especially when you're doing things right. If you want to make it in this rescue world and you want to help dogs, 501 is what's going to help you do that.
Yeah.
Good word.
Yeah.
Preach.
Yeah, and if you can't, if you can't do that, if you can't do your 501c, volunteer. Joe, I know you guys and Kat, you guys are, you know, 100% volunteer. These people do this for nothing. They do it because they love dogs. They do it because they love pit bulls. And
exactly,
you know, and you know, not everybody has to run a rescue. If you just, if you want to do it, hook up with somebody. You know, get in there and get involved.
Volunteer, volunteer.
We can always use manpower. There is never enough manpower at a rescue. We have 10 dogs, and mostly it's me and my wife, but I tell you what, we could use 5 to 6 volunteers daily here, easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got involved because I was just so blown away by the amazing results that LARPO was able to, or I should say, the tools that LARPO was able to arm me with a dog that I and my husband were just a little bit clueless on. You know, it was the first, pit. She's our first pit. And, you know, I admittedly have had little dogs my whole life. And, you know, stigmas and whatnot being abound, I was not sure, but I wanted to learn. And the ability to have resources like LARPO, like different rescues that are not just handing over a dog, but also providing the longevity and the support needed is huge. And, you know, the thing with L.A., I can't speak to other cities, but this is the first city that I've really rented a home and had a dog in. There are breed restrictions purely on insurance and homeowners insurance. And so as a renter, you could go in with, you know, no dog, no nothing, cool, everything's fine, and then want a dog, have a dog, pull a dog from a rescue, and it's pit mix, and you, or pit, full pit, or German Shepherd, or, you know, any list of dogs that is on this breed restrictions, you know, through renter's insurance, and you're just kind of like, well, is it a dog, or is it my home, you know, and the ability to say, well, it's going to be neither, because I have a great home, and I have the tools to build a great relationship with my dog, and that to me is so crucial, especially in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and it's
and we tell a lot of people to offer to carry their own renter's insurance, and sometimes that'll disarm that situation. If you're able to carry your own renter's insurance that will cover a pit bull, and then you can just sign a document that says you don't hold the manager responsible for anything that happens, you know, it gets them off the hook and it allows it. And a lot of times that'll get a dog in.
Yeah, as will the CGC. You know, if you're able to say my dog is CGC certified, a lot of that stuff goes away. And you know, not all of it. And, of course, liability is liability and ownership is ownership. But, you know, that has a lot to do with it, is the ability to say, this is my dog. This is my responsibility. And here it is, you know, breed or not. This is what it is, you know.
Check your renter's insurance, check your homo's insurance, always check for, you know, any breed-specific thing on that. And when my wife and I bought our property here, we just started to go through Geico, and they said, oh, pit bulls? No. And it's just like, well, we told Geico, see ya, and we're with State Farm. And we, you know, it was like, it was one of the things. And they keep, oh, come back. It's like, nope, sorry. Been there, done that. We're happy. Yep. Check it before you get any dog, really, because you could get a Rottweiler. Maybe, I mean, there's a laundry list of dogs. It's just not the pit bull dogs.
Yeah, no, it is not.
State Farm, Farmers, and American Family are the three here that are any dog can bite, and as long as the dog doesn't have a bite history, they'll cover it.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Hey guys.
But again, we gotta change those
laws.
That's good to know. That's right. You know, change those laws, guys. We're getting down to the little nitty gritty here. I don't know about all you guys, but I think I had a really good show tonight, Kat.
Oh, it's been an awesome show.
Yeah, no, this has been amazing. Thank you so much.
And Tino,
you
know,
so much. This is great.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in, Tino. Goddamn, that you really lit this show on fire, man. Thank you. And
thank you. Well, come out tomorrow. I'll do some more of that, you guys. Anybody come out, Pasadena Ice House. We'll be there 7:30.
That's right. We're going to put that on the Pitbull Advocate page real quick. Gordon Shell, thank you so much. Man, you guys,
to have you back, Gordon. It's been a long
you're
time.
You're busy, man. Yeah, thanks for being here with us tonight, man.
Of course. You can talk to me anytime. Thanks for supporting.
All right.
All right, peace
we're
out.
Gonna keep in...
All
Bye,
right, Tina.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Bye.
Oh my God! Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, man. What a great show, man! This is really awesome. We got people down there in LA, you know, and all around. People like Kat and everybody that's involved there with the Los Angeles responsible pit bull owners. Tino and everybody with the pits and giggles, you know, peace, love, and pit bulls, everybody. We got a special coming up for you on, that's got to be Friday, Joe?
Friday the 5th.
Friday. Yeah, buddy. See you in Hollywood, everybody.
See you in Hollywood.
Not really sure what that was all about. What a great show. This is the after show. What do you think of that? What do you think of them apples? The after show.
Cool.
Sounds
Man, good.
We haven't done one of these in a while. These are the secret shows, Advocate. Where normally we just kinda go, yeah, whatever. Just get on, you know, hang up, good night, and all that kind of good stuff. But we're really looking forward to this this here trip in Hollywood, a great adventure for not only just for us here at the Pitbull Advocate, Joe, but for everything that you're doing there with Love to Pit Rescue, and you know, get out there and help promote your cause, and you know. And just kind of see, you know, see where this goes. I'm really looking forward to where this, what's going to happen to this, with this movie, man. Not sure what I'm going to expect to get from it, you know?
Yeah.
But,
we're super excited just in general. I mean, just the simple fact, it's been 8 years since we've been away from this rescue as a couple.
There's no vacations.
No, I mean, it's just that alone is great, but we're super excited to get down and see, what kind of connections we can make and stuff, you know, I posted on the video, last night, even if it doesn't benefit our rescue, if we open one connection to another rescue that's helping dogs, that's all that matters to us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're super excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a big thing here on, we're going for the early show, Advocates. We get a little early screening. It'll be kind of a I wouldn't say not a private, but not a full public. There'll be other folks there. We can talk to, you know, maybe they're representing it, maybe some other folks from rescues and so on. But, and then the big premiere is on the 8th, which is National Dog Fighting Awareness Day, the NoHo Theater, and we're going to be getting all that info up for you guys to check it out if you're down there in the L.A. area, and you can get down to Hollywood and check that out. It's going to be a good one, guys. Going to be a good one. So anyway, big thanks again, Kat Taylor from Los Angeles Responsible Pit Bull Owners, Tino, Gordon Chell. One of our funnest shows yet. You know, we got a lot out there. We got a lot to talk about the show and had a really good time with it. And so if you were out there in the L.A. area, the Ice House, was it, Joe, the Ice House?
Down there
in the Los Angeles area? Check them out, Pits and Giggles. It's a good time. Still got tickets available. And so in the meantime, Advocates, Friday, we'll see ya. Good times. Joe, you have a good night.
You too.
And Advocates, we'll see you on Friday.